She smiled, softly. Then she whispered into his ear, unbothered by Lorelai's closeness. Might be a while, though. I may be in a little trouble with my bosses.
What?
Alex blinked.
Why?
For falling in love with you. Rachel smiled quietly. For making love with you. Angels aren't supposed to do those things with mortals.
I wish you had told me.
It's what I wanted. You're what I wanted. She shrugged. You're my hero. Held between them in Alex's arms, Lorelai interrupted.
Don't delay long,
she told the angel quietly.
The three of us have a great deal to work out.
Rachel might have blushed, but Alex couldn't be sure.
You gonna be okay?
She didn't bother to suppress her grin.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a little chat with my ex.
Recovery would come with time. There would be chaos, then healing, and then the Brotherhood would rebuild. After that, there would be chances for revenge. Miss Black accepted all of that. Right now, however, she saw a chance to learn much. She crouched in the shadow of the tree line, listening intently to the conversation among the knights' victors. No human's ears could hear from this distance. The raccoon that sat beside her, though, had excellent hearing. He answered her sorceress summons without much resistance, eventually sitting obediently beside her. Summoning the animal hardly taxed her powers, nor did the spell she cast to take advantage of its senses. Her blazer and top were both covered in both champagne and blood. Healing herself of the concussion Carlyle inflicted hadn't been easy. She'd had to do it in short, hazy, tiring stages, but each time she managed the spell, her mind grew clearer, and her head and face were less bloody and battered. It would have been nice to withdraw entirely from the scene, but there was too much to learn that would be important for the future. Through the animal's ears, she heard everything. She learned who and what Alex and his rescuers were, and what they were about. She heard them decide to leave Lydia to be dealt with by Rachel and the other angels. That suited Miss Black just fine. The raccoon also enabled her to hear and smell the pair of vampires sneaking up on her. They were both heavy and garbed in an awful lot of fabric. To move through woods with any stealth at all was always a challenge. Big antebellum dresses like theirs should have made it impossible. When they were just close enough, Miss Black flicked her wand up in the air with a pair of hissed words. The two vampires floated off their feet. Both of them hung in the air. Miss Black rose and stepped backward between them. The raccoon scampered off into the trees.
You might have had a chance against me in the city,
Miss Black said darkly, but not out here in the woods. My first practice was born of the wild.
Our mistake, said one of the undead ladies. We thought you were one of them.
Really now, grunted the other one. We could all just go our separate ways. You've made your point. This doesn't have to be a fuss.
Miss Black smiled.
The one good thing about tonight is that we'll all have far fewer of you to deal with for a good while.
She mused. Still holding the wand aloft, Miss Black reached for the trunk of a tall cottonwood tree. Words in Greek and Hebrew came softly from her mouth. The vampires watched with alarm as the bottom of the tree's trunk writhed and twisted. Leaves fell from above. With a rush, one of the tree's boughs lashed out at the pair. All of the smaller branches growing off of the bough had twisted into long, rigid spikes. There were more than enough of the nasty things to ensure that each of the vampires was impaled through the heart. Miss Black waited to see the pair turn to ash, leaving their fine dresses hanging on the bough. As she turned away, she found herself standing before a towering wall of fur. A furry arm encircled her shoulders. She didn't have time to cry out before her head was twisted entirely too far around. Miss Black's lifeless body slumped to the ground. The fur receded, soon changing to skin.
Diana stepped over the dead sorceress and past the piles of ash and silken dresses to stand at the edge of the tree line. In the distance, Diana saw Alex and his assorted companions make ready to leave. The nude woman decided to linger until they had gone. Once they were safely off, she would make her way to where she could make a couple of phone calls and get back to her people. Regret for Diana's earlier words crept up on her as she watched. She had been thinking pragmatically, concerning herself with her own survival and that of the young man who would so clearly make an excellent mate. He would come around to that eventually. She would just have to get him alone to explain things to him. That would happen in time. She had his scent. Rachel had the mansion burning brightly shortly after the others left. Wade's truck went up along with it in the driveway. As the flames roared up in earnest, Rachel carried her heavily duct-taped prisoner to a spot at the edge of the tree line, surrounding the house. She heard the sirens of distant fire engines. As Lorelei predicted, the authorities could ignore only so much, despite bribes or compromised procedures. Rachel ensured the firefighters would find surprisingly little clues to the fire's origin.
"I do not recognize the authority of any court of heaven," Lydia said bitterly.
"Tell it to the judge, bitch," Rachel smirked. She looked skyward, where clouds rolled in again from the coast. The angel lifted her flaming sword, pointed it to the sky, and watched as a light from the blade shot like a flare into the night. It wasn't a long wait. The rest of the world saw nothing, but from over the clouds, Rachel saw the appearance of a piercing white light. It seemed to hardly move at first, but that was how these things were done, at least where he was concerned. There was the first omen of approach, followed by a speeding trail of light, three lights, actually, as he brought assistance, which finally took on the image of angels with their wings fully spread. The squires were both women. Naturally, they were also pretty. That was loaded with meaning, of course. Everything would be loaded with meaning. She gave up caring a long time ago, but tonight it amused her that he tried so hard.
"Hello, Vincent,"
Rachel said, with her voice dripping with such sweetness that it couldn't possibly be mistaken for sincerity.
"Rachel?"
he said severely. His mouth opened to speak again, but Rachel cut him off.
"What have you been up to tonight?"
she asked. Her sword faded away as Rachel clasped her hands behind her back. She twisted left and right at the shoulders in mock shyness. The smile on her face practically outshone her halo.
"You know what my duties are," Vincent scowled. "I suppose this succubus has transgressed against your charge in some way that merited your direct and overt intervention."
"Yep," Rachel nodded. She even hopped up a bit on her toes for emphasis. Her grin just wouldn't go away.
"And the home now ablaze?" Vincent asked. "Did the house somehow attack your Alex?"
Rachel's jaw dropped. She brought her hands to her cheeks.
"Why, Vincent, I didn't even know if you still remembered his name. Gosh, you're so on top of things."
She looked to the two women at his side.
"Is he always this on top of things?"
Vincent sighed dramatically.
"I grow tired of this, Rachel. We will take the succubus to be judged. Expect an assembly in the morning, where you may state your case. Is that all?"
"Yeah,"
Rachel said, looking down and kicking a rock, while she stuck her lower lip out in a pout.
"It's just, well, I figured you should probably know a couple other things, too."
Vincent gestured to his companions, who stepped forward to take up Lydia by either arm. He sighed yet again.
"Such as?"
"Oh," Rachel shrugged, "just that Ball is dead."
The two angels taking hold of Lydia both stopped and blinked. Vincent's scowl cracked, overcome with disbelief.
"What?"
he asked.
"Yep,"
dead, slain, wasted, kicked the bucket. First he was all, rawr, I'm a duke of hell, bitches. And then he was like, this is my turf, welcome to Castle Cocksucker. And then he was all, you're all gonna die. And then it was, fuck, this sword hurts. And finally he was like, oh fuck, I'm dead. The other angels watched her flailing demonstration, as if she was insane. But Rachel was used to that. The sight of Vincent's face as his mind tried to grasp the news was priceless.
How?
Alex did it, Rachel said. In hell, with my sword. Knew how to use it, too. Ladies, you know what it's like to be with a guy who can really handle his... She frowned, looking back from the other two angels to Vincent. No, I imagine you probably don't. Vincent's eyes were wide.
How did this happen?
It was Colonel Mustard in the billiard room with the fucking candlestick. Come on, I just told you. Ball and Skanktastic here tried to kidnap Lorelai and drag her back to hell, and so Alex went after him and shanked his monkey ass.
You're sure?
My blade. Not like I wasn't part of it. Rachel smiled. She paused for effect before she said, happened right after I killed your old buddy, Harrow.
The glorious angel's face went white. His mouth fell open.
Here, catch, Rachel said. She tossed Vincent one of Harrow's large, bone-white teeth. It bounced up against Vincent's chest and then fell to the ground.
Aw, you didn't catch. I brought that all the way from hell for you.
Her smile never abated, nor did her good cheer. Vincent's companions were suitably stunned, while Lydia just looked on with a hateful glare.
Harrow is dead? By your hand?
Yup. Well, to be fair, I got an assist from a couple of mortals. Cute, too. Rachel looked sideways to the other two angels. And I'm pretty sure one of them single, ladies. I'm not saying I know for sure, but from the looks of things, she went on, holding up her two hands, roughly 10 to 12 inches apart. I'll bet Drew's got a cock. This...
Is there anything else?
Vincent snapped to cut her off. When she looked back at him, Rachel could see that his face had gone from white to shockingly red.
Just that the whole balance of power between good and evil in the city got a fan-fucking-tastic shift tonight. A whole fuck-ton of very evil supernaturals died here, Rachel answered. You know, vampires and sorcerers, ones that lived in your city. Oh, and we left Ball's little corner of hell kinda fucked. And, you know, we captured her, too, the angel added, giving Lydia a side-swiping kick in the butt as she was led past. She tossed the succubus a wink.
Oh, and I had sex with Alex, Rachel added. Vincent was utterly shocked. So, for that matter, were his assistants, and even Lydia. Vincent tried to say something.
Fucked me like he'd just gotten out of prison, Rachel said, gravely.
Vincent stammered. I'm still having aftershocks. Can't believe I can even walk straight.
Vincent held up a finger to jab at her.
Ate me out so good, I...
Enough.
So, Rachel said, once again folding her hands behind her back and twisting left to right. What have you accomplished tonight, Vincent? Anything at all?
Farewells in the street between Alex and Drew's homes were reluctant, despite fatigue and the late hour. No one wanted to be the first to leave.
Wow, well,
Alex said, coming back out of his apartment building to meet the others.
Mom's not home, but I guess she's okay.
He stared awkwardly at his cell phone. Drew walked beside him with a highly amused grin on his face.
You guess?
Wade asked. He, Jason, and Taylor sat on the hood of the car that Wade had appropriated from the mansion for the ride back. Onyx and Molly stood nearby, She got a hot date, Drew answered before Alex could say anything. Staying over at Uncle Eddie's tonight. Alex looked at him through narrowed eyes as Wade and Jason both snickered. I hate it when you stand so close to the phone. Drew just chuckled as he walked past. He paused to give Taylor a hug, then waved and headed over to his end of the street. We all good then? Jason asked. Yeah, Wade nodded. Think we're all good. Going home, Jace? Alex asked. No way. I'm already gonna catch hell for my parents again as it is. I might as well go over to Brittany's, or Brittany's. You know, I can't remember. He confessed with a cocky grin. Alex just smiled. You saved my life twice now, you know. You could have died. I'd be dead without you. Yeah. Jason shrugged. Is that what leveling up feels like? No, that's when you go see Brittany or whoever. Right, well, I'm gonna go do that then. Okay. Grats in advance. Alex waved as Jason went to his car. Taylor hopped off the hood to go lean into the window of the town car that had brought the others back. The succubus rested in the front passenger seat with the window rolled down. Taylor whispered something to her before kissing her softly on the lips, then stood to hug Alex. I think I probably need to sleep in my own bed. I'm sure I'll see you again soon. Still friends? He asked. Yep. Always. As she walked to her car, Wade caught his eye. I'm gonna follow Taylor home, make sure she gets in all right, he said. Alex just nodded gratefully. I don't have the words, man, he sighed. Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. Y'all take care. Wade nodded at Molly and Onyx before he got into his temporary SUV. Was good meeting ya. Night, Onyx smiled. She and Molly waited until Taylor and Wade drove off. Then they calmly walked up close to Alex. Onyx slipped a hand up his dirty, bloodied leather jacket. So? Molly touched the other side of his jacket. So? She echoed. Alex felt his heart race. He wasn't sure what to say. Onyx could tell. You look like you're about to explode, she observed, with no small amount of satisfaction in her smile. Yeah, Alex swallowed. I've, got to take care of Lorelai, though. You should. She seems pretty awesome. Anyway, we're gonna go home, tear each other's clothes off, and make love until we pass out. Onyx nodded. Probably take the morning off to stay in bed together, too, Molly added. That's, Alex blinked. Any idea when you'll be able to see us? Onyx asked him. I don't know. Soon. I want it to be soon. I want it to be sooner. Molly winked. You've got to make up for Onyx cheating me on that coin toss.
The pair kissed him on either cheek before they walked to their car. Alex watched them go before he got back into the town car. Finally, it was just he and Lorelai again. She waited, curled up against the passenger seat on her left side.
How are you?
He asked gently. Her eyes fluttered open. I am very much in love.
You're still in a lot of pain?
Lorelai nodded, closing her eyes. Yes.
We can go inside. We'll be alone. But I think we might be more comfortable back in the hotel. I didn't stop to check out. Seems like I could probably take better care of you there with the extra space and privacy.
That would be wonderful, Alex. He reached out to touch her face, smiling a bit as she kissed his palm. Then he turned to the task at hand, starting the car and heading off. In the silence that followed, Lorelai remained curled up onto the passenger seat to watch Alex drive. Street lamps and the headlights of passing cars floated by, bringing him from shadow to light and back to shadow again. There was little traffic, nor much in the way of other delays.
"How are your hands?" Lorelai asked.
"Tender,"
he sighed.
"But getting better, I guess."
For most of the ride, Alex was unsure if he should spoil the silence. Once they came into downtown, Alex observed,
"You're quiet."
"I am thoughtful,"
Lorelai said. She was also clearly exhausted, but her tone held nothing but soft affection.
"About what?"
"In all my life, I have only occasionally been in genuine danger," she explained softly. "Yet only with you have I learned what it is like to feel safe."
Alex opened his mouth, but then closed it. Lorelai understood. There was much to say, but not while he was trapped behind the wheel of a car. Comfort and privacy were not far away now. She watched him as he drove, studying his movements and his demeanor with weary but interested eyes. Her soft smile remained. They didn't park in the hotel's garage, opting instead to abandon the car on the street. Lorelai was pleasantly surprised when he wordlessly picked her up in his arms and carried her the entire way to the door, then to the elevator, and even to the door to the honeymoon suite. She kept them concealed from the eyes of others, holding close to enjoy the shelter and support of his arms. Not for the first time since his escape, Alex felt grateful that none of the vampires, nor the sorcerers, had bothered to steal the wallet out of his, now tattered, leather jacket. He let her fish out the keycard to the door while he held her. Lorelai opened the door for them both, and he carried her inside. The lights were still on.
"We need our own place,"
Alex said.
"I will see to it soon, love," Lorelai assured him.
"Don't. No."
Alex shook his head.
"Lorelai, I'm not worried about that right now. I'm only worried about you."
Lorelai touched the side of his face with one hand.
"There was too much to say in the car," she said simply, "for both of us. You can put me down if you like."
He looked around the room.
"We both need to get cleaned up, but I don't know if... Will a bath be okay for you? I don't know how hurt you are, or if..."
"A bath would be wonderful," Lorelai nodded. "If you would share it."
"That's what I was planning, yeah."
He brought her to the spacious tub and sat her down on the soft bath mat beside it.
"My turn to take care of you tonight."
She watched him get the water running. Then he threw off his jacket, kicked off his shoes, and knelt next to her.
"You need sex to heal, don't you?"
"Yes. Your desires will make me feel better, but your pleasure and satisfaction provide much more,"
she offered with a faint smile.
"The farewell from the witches offered some small relief."
"I have to confess that sex isn't the first thing on my mind right now, but I want to help you however I can. Would it hurt you, even if it heals?"
His lover shook her head gently.
"Do not try to force yourself, Alex. I could endure, yes, and soon it would only help me. But even I have limits to my lusts. Beaten and weary as I am, I want only to be with you. All else will come in time."
Alex nodded. He stroked her matted, bloodied, and filthy hair.
"You don't have to hide what you look like from me, you know."
"It doesn't take much effort at all."
He shook his head.
"Show me."
Lorelai nodded. She looked down for a moment, then back up. It was as if Alex had blinked, but he had not. One moment, he stared at a beautiful but bruised woman. In the next, she was still beautiful, but even more bruised and bloodied, and now there were horns, wings, the tail, an animalistic predatory change in her eyes. Her skin turned red. She reached up to touch his face again.
I was so afraid, my love.
You stopped calling me master,
he observed with a slight smile.
You didn't go so far tonight to rescue a slave.
Lorelai smiled back.
I suspect we would both prefer to save that word for play from now on.
He swallowed hard, afraid to ask the question that plagued him.
You could have freed yourself from me with that crown, couldn't you?
Yes, she nodded.
To seize a crown in hell is to break all bonds. I would have been freed. Other lords would have fought to conquer me and perhaps triumphed, but perhaps not.
Why didn't you take it?
To what end?
Her gentle tone contrasted sharply with her wicked features.
To rule a corner of hell would be to lose you, unless I were to keep you there. How could I do either? Alex, you are a bright young man, but you are young.
I could have found a way to escape you at almost any turn, had I wanted my freedom.
Lydia did not lie to you about everything. I have manipulated you, used you for my own needs, pressured you into things you found uncomfortable simply to further my desires.
I have been awful. You suffered so much pain, and your friends were endangered all because of me. I am a monster. I will always be a monster. Whatever they did to you tonight, you were hurt so much. And you see what I am. I don't understand why you do not reject me. I don't know why you still want me.
I owe you everything.
He shrugged.
I knew what you were all along. I made my own decisions.
But they hurt you so much. All because of me.
I'm over it.
You're not, Lorelai countered. You're different now. I felt,
Alex, you wanted to die. He searched for words.
I remembered a lot of things that never happened to me. It's all stuff that happened a long time ago to other people. Maybe they were me. I don't know. I remember a lot of fighting and dying over and over and being lonely and hurt.
He shook his head.
I remember pieces still, but it's mostly fading. But when Lydia tried to make me choke on that stuff, I remembered everything like it had all just happened 2 minutes ago. So in the beginning, yeah, I guess I just wanted it all to end. But I didn't want to lose you,
Alex said.
I would never want to lose you. I was so afraid of what they would do to you. So once I could sort out my head again, all I could think about was finding you.
Do you feel sorted out now?
I think so. It's not so hard to think straight anymore.
Alex glanced at the tub. It had filled up enough to get in. Alex finished undressing. Lorelai studied him as he moved. He didn't feel the least bit self-conscious in front of her. He helped her out of the remains of her nightgown and carried her into the warm, comforting bathtub.
You are changed, Lorelai told him. It's in your movements, in your face, in your voice. You are still my Alex, but something seems to have settled for you.
Alex reached for a washcloth, pulling it through the water, before raising it to Lorelai's face to gently clean away blood and grime.
I kind of feel like my life just makes more sense now. Not all the craziness, not you. No offense.
He grinned a bit.
But everything else. Like why I've always felt so lonely, you know?
Drew said that you always seem to expect things to come to a bad end. Perhaps this is some holdover from another life. Or lives.
Her eyes held a slight shimmer. He continued his gentle work.
You must have done a lot of fighting in your past.
Yeah, I guess so. Or whoever I used to be. He didn't know where to begin.
Lorelai allowed him his silence for some time, as he bathed her.
My love, she finally said, there is such sadness in you.
I think I've had my heart broken a lot, he told her. I remember that more than the fighting or the dying. The faces are there, but I can't describe any of them. It's like I've got one name after another on the tip of my tongue.
His eyes fell away from hers. The words came out slowly.
I've been cheated on, a lot. I've been abandoned, rejected, betrayed. And I'm pretty sure that whenever it looked like it might actually work out, I've died. Or she did, or both of us. But I don't ever remember being happy for long at all. Just long enough to know that I was in love and then it all fell apart.
He took a long breath.
Mainly, I just remember being hurt and lonely.
Then perhaps we are not so different after all, Lorelai suggested.
Her words sank in. She could feel it. Lorelai touched his jaw with her fingertips, turning him to look up to her.
I love you, Alex. And while I cannot speak for Rachel, I can promise that no angel would give her heart to a mortal lightly, or frivolously, or by mistake. She may seem a bit odd, Lorelai granted, but she knows exactly what she does. We will both love you for the rest of your days. We have no intention of allowing those days to be short. And when those days finally pass, I speak only for myself, but I will find you in your next life, and I will love you then, too.
You don't know how much it means to me to hear you say that,
Alex managed to mumble. Says the man who literally followed me into the pit and slew a duke of hell because he would not give me up, who rejected the charms of a succubus because she had harmed me.
I know, Alex,
Lorelai said quickly, raising her hand to his opposite cheek.
I feel your desires, even those that repulse you. You know she taunted you to torment us both, don't you?
Yeah,
Alex nodded.
I'm so sorry for how I...
Do not be. You have no reason to apologize. None know better than I what one such as Lydia can do to a mortal man. Had you fallen to her charms, I would have been hurt by her, but you would have been blameless.
Being with me makes you terribly vulnerable to seduction. I hoped this would be a happy flaw. You know what I expect of you, and what I do not. You like being pursued. Anyone would. But this, Alex, you have no reason to feel guilt or shame.
I almost. If she had kept coming on to me like that, I don't know how much longer I could have held out.
You held out more than enough, Lorelai told him. No one is unbreakable, Alex, but you are made of stronger stuff than anyone might ever guess.
Gingerly, she moved in on Alex in the tub.
Let it go, my love,
Lorelai told him. Her head leaned against his neck, her arms coming around his body.
You bear too much sorrow tonight already. Let it out.
He sniffed.
I'm not sure I've got more tears,
he said.
Kind of sorry for that. I won't hide anything from you.
I know.
It's kind of awkward to ask this. Something I'm afraid of. How much did you get from Rachel and I being together?
Lorelai smiled fondly.
I regained my wings.
It was an obvious enough thing, but worth pointing out.
You asked once if I enjoyed being with you less than I enjoyed you being with others. Alex, you and Rachel, it's as if I'm a part of you both. I know how you love her. Your feelings for her are every bit as beautiful as what you feel for me. I would do anything to keep you together.
She said the same thing about you and I.
I am not surprised.
Lorelai,
he said softly,
I don't want to drift away from you. Ever.
That's the one thing that I still worry about. You're closer to me than anyone. Except that with Rachel, I felt the same way. And it was like I didn't have to say anything at all. She can read me like a book, a lot like you do.
It sounds like we all find our way, Lorelai suggested.
But doesn't that cheapen it for us, or for her and I?
Alex asked.
I don't want to sound like I'm playing favorites. I don't know if I could. You're the most important person in my life. Except saying that seems unfair to Rachel, but not saying it seems unfair to you.
I have no fear of sharing my primacy with Rachel. This will be a challenge for all three of us, but we want it. We all want it. The best thing you could do for me and for Rachel is to throw caution to the wind and carry forth with both of us, and with the rest of your relationships, she added encouragingly. Exasperating as her attitude was, Alex could only laugh. He cuddled Lorelai close.
I have no clue how I'm going to handle all of this.
I'll help, Lorelai assured him. No jealousy, no competition. After a pause, she added, I'll be very happy to keep your date book for you.
That's insanely sexy.
And manipulative and selfish. I may have ulterior motives in wanting to run your schedule. As if to illustrate her point, she trailed kisses up his neck while her fingers reached up to massage his temples.
Hey,
Alex said slowly.
You're supposed to let me take care of you tonight.
He reached around, found the washcloth and soap, and went back to his work. Lorelai obediently let herself be indulged. Nothing remained of his former shyness. He diligently cleaned her wounds and her body from head to toe. He stared at her naked beauty all the while as he washed her hair. Even with the marring of cuts and bruises, she was still an incredible sight. As he came to her long devil's tail and washed that too, without complaint or hesitation, Lorelai felt a new wave of happiness wash over her. Alex went from that to her wings, which faded in and out of substantiality as they moved around in the tub. There was a strange convenience to them. When they weren't at all in the way, they were perfectly solid. When they became an obstruction, they faded. Yet when Alex reached for them, caressing and cleansing the dirt and grime and blood from the leathery flesh, they were quite real. You spoil me, Lorelai smiled with her back turned for him.
Ah, but you've been stingy with me, right?
When he finished with the wings, he went back to fondly stroking her back and her sides. There wasn't any further need to wash her there beyond simple affection. Eventually, the wings faded away again, both to the touch and to his sight. He couldn't complain. It made it easier to touch the rest of her. Lorelai purred as her lover's touch became increasingly familiar. He was still gentle, with her wounds closed and clean but not at all gone. For all her pain, though, she enjoyed his caress. They were both on their knees in the center of the tub. Alex, Lorelai murmured finally, you know what will heal me.
Is that an invitation?
He leaned in close, brushing her wet hair aside to kiss the back of her neck. One hand slipped around her side, moving up to the underside of her breast to softly cup it. His fingers gently brushed either side of her nipple. I've told you before. My body will forever invite yours. We haven't used this tub yet. Lorelai continued to purr as he played.
I thought sex and water wasn't comfortable for women.
I'm no ordinary woman. Her naked ass slid against his groin. It left his hardened cock pushed downward between her cheeks. Lorelai reveled in the nearness of him, his hand on her breast and the feel of his breath on her neck. The only trepidation in him now was over her injuries. Everything about his demeanor tonight had been comfortably, lovingly possessive, and that thrilled her. She even heard it in his voice, which up against her ear was a welcome turn-on. He had gotten much better at all this. She felt real confidence in him, real control. She started to tremble. He didn't respond right away, at least not verbally. His lips slowly enveloped her earlobe. Fingertips traced up and down her front, from her neck to her inner thighs, teasing almost everything along the way. His fingers conspicuously avoided her sex, only stroking through a bit of her hair without actually going for the flesh. When he shifted a bit, though, his cock slid up between her legs and teased at the willing lips between them. It drew a gasp from her. She felt his desires rise, knowing they built upon both Lydia's torment and the passion that he had shared with Rachel. The thought put a grin on her face.
"Have you and Rachel developed the same bond that we share?"
Lorelai asked. The feeling of his teeth gently scraping between her neck and shoulder told her he was smiling.
"I think you know the answer to that,"
he taunted.
"Do I?"
Lorelai asked innocently. He kept her close. One arm slipped up between her breasts, where his fingers could play gently at her throat. The other moved down, parting the lips between her legs. His cock slid across them again, sending a shudder through her. She wanted it, needed it, felt willing to beg. That was when her eyes snapped open.
"Who's seducing who now?"
Neither his tone nor his roaming, arousing hands indicated any shyness.
"You're a wicked woman, Lorelai."
Alex grinned.
"You knew what would happen if Rachel and I went to bed together, didn't you?"
Lorelai's next breath shook.
"You knew the ritual wasn't finished."
Her body was on fire. The pain visited upon her this evening fell further and further away. Lorelai's next breath shook. His cock was agonizingly positioned to take her, but he did not move further. His hands continued to play with her, and his mouth continued to move along her skin from behind.
"I did."
"You knew I wouldn't go to bed with her if I knew it would bind her to me, didn't you?"
Alex asked. His voice was calm and patient. One of his hands slipped low along her body, sliding down between her legs.
"Yes,"
Lorelai rasped. It was such a thrill to hear and feel this confidence in him, and yet so maddening to be teased like this. She knew how this affected him, too. His self-denial was incredible.
"I wanted you to have her."
She was rewarded with an inch of penetration, but no more. Alex wouldn't move in further. He held himself there while holding her still. Lorelai cooperated fully as she felt herself come alive with hunger. His cock felt absolutely wonderful. The game felt wonderful. Lorelai had just enough of him to drive her out of her mind with need for the rest. His intentions were clear, though. He was in control.
"You know you can lie to me,"
he said, his voice low and seductive.
"Don't you?"
"Yes,"
Lorelai confessed.
"I knew that it was becoming easier to deceive you."
She whimpered. He gyrated just enough to energize her with motion, while not pushing that beautiful tool further inside.
"Yes, love," Lorelai confessed. "I knew a day or two ago that it was becoming easier to manipulate through deception."
Her confession earned her further penetration. She let out a grunt of thanks, but even now there was still more to be had, and thus she had to have it.
"Why would you want to do that?"
He didn't sound bothered in the least.
"Only because I love you,"
Lorelai whimpered. The reward that filled her still didn't go far enough to satisfy. It was thrilling torture.
"I wanted you to have her."
"Are you going to lie to me in the future?"
She grinned.
"Only if you wish it."
"Glad we can be honest with each other."
He pushed the rest of the way into her. Lorelai surrendered to him with a loud, grateful moan. They were slow and gentle and consumed with mutual desire. Her condition forced them to control themselves, but that hindrance became a blessing of its own. Animal passion had to be restrained. Deep, abiding love took its place instead. They were together this way for a time, with Alex holding her steady and controlling everything but her intense emotions. Lorelai's submissive streak only heightened the moment for them both. She gasped and moaned, utterly unafraid to share her vulnerability with him. She wanted him to know the effect he had upon her, wanted this intimacy.
I want to face you,
Alex said finally. They slowed, holding together for a long moment, before Lorelai withdrew and turned.
My love, she murmured. There were joyful tears in her eyes.
Lorelai slipped her legs around him, drawing him inside her once more while their gaze held. Alex held her up in the tub, letting her control their pace with her hips. Lorelai's hands came to the sides of his face as she kissed him. Somewhere in that kiss, and the intensity between their legs, their embrace and their passion, they both began to ignore their surroundings. Neither of them heard the rustle of black pants and a faded black t-shirt falling to the floor nearby, nor did they hear the newcomer's breath, every bit as heavy as theirs. Nor did they notice the pair of bare, shapely legs that entered the tub behind Alex. Distracted by their intimacy, they only gradually became aware of Rachel's presence. Alex felt the hands upon his shoulder, but didn't realize at first that Lorelai's were already occupied. The succubus was similarly distracted, and wasn't aware at first of the difference between her lover's touch and the angel's caress along her arms.
Don't you dare stop, Rachel breathed into Alex's ear as she melted up against his back,
arms and legs sliding in around him. Her voice was shaky with bliss.
I want it, and she needs it. So good.
Rachel stayed wrapped around him, occasionally daring to stroke Lorelai's arms or shoulders. Soon the succubus took one of the angel's hands in hers. The pace did not quicken, but the blood certainly did. Alex and Lorelai breathed louder, and so did Rachel. His embrace tightened, as did theirs. Lorelai ground against him harder, wanting everything he had to give inside her. She sang out her orgasm as it approached, knowing his would coincide. Behind him, her head turned with her cheek against his shoulder, Rachel began to pant in time with them. They came together, unable and unwilling to deny themselves and one another. Alex flooded Lorelai within as she began to spasm and lose control. Rachel clung to them, riding it out as joyously as either of the other two. The pleasure overwhelmed the trio. Alex continued to climax with Lorelai for a long time. Rachel stayed glued to his back, moaning in pleasure. The rush subsided. Tension slowly passed. The three sank physically and emotionally into one another's embrace.
Holy fuck,
moaned Rachel, easily the loudest of the three in their shared passion.
You two are incredible.
Alex still held Lorelai, with Rachel clinging to him from behind. She rested her head on his shoulder.
Welcome,
Lorelai whispered, giving Rachel's hand a slight squeeze. The angel heard it as it was meant, both seductive and heartfelt. There was no mockery, no irony.
Thank you,
Rachel said, kissing Alex's shoulder.
Hi,
Alex mumbled.
Hey, you don't have to let her go, you know,
Rachel murmured.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm good either way.
Excellent.
Lorelai smiled coolly. She kept her legs wrapped around her lover, and shamelessly around Rachel.
I hoped we would be able to share space peacefully.
Alex opened his mouth to say something, straightening just a bit as if to pull away. But Lorelai's hands running through his hair ruined his train of thought.
Shh, lover, she hissed. Remain with me.
A shudder ran through him and through Rachel. The angel wasn't so susceptible to the demon's powers of suggestion, but she still experienced the sensations it drew from Alex. She raised her head curiously, enjoying the continued pleasure, but wondering at Lorelai's game. The succubus smiled wickedly at her while she spoke into their man's ear.
Slow down. Enjoy me. Enjoy us both.
Rachel's eyes fluttered. Everything Lorelai did felt very good to Alex, and therefore to her as well. The suggestive influence seemed unnecessary.
Why are you doing that to him?
To make a point. I will never give him up, Rachel.
Lorelai said, in smooth, quiet, even, comforting tones. Alex moved against her, keeping all three of them riding on a physical high. But Lorelai was more than able to think and act clearly regardless.
Alex is my love, my first and best friend, and my prey. The question is whether or not you can accept this.
Rachel opened her mouth to speak, but found her words were overcome by a groan as Lorelai's embrace tightened around the mortal between them.
Lydia spoke one truth, the succubus hissed. I have held back on Alex. At first it was out of weakness, but now I simply don't want to break him. There's less worry about that with you here, but I must know if you can accept me for what I am.
The angel was as utterly helpless as Alex. She knew it, and so did the demon. Love made the succubus no less ruthless.
I know you love him,
Rachel whimpered with pleasure.
I'd never come between you two.
But you must,
Lorelai countered.
Alex and I share total intimacy. Would you not have to take away from some portion of that in order to have yours?
No.
Alex was hardly even a part of the conversation. His mind was there, but his body felt too good to do anything but cooperate with Lorelai's urgings. Rachel had no doubt that Lorelai could control him like this at her whim. That she hadn't done so already said a great deal about their relationship.
We can have ours without taking from you. I don't want to take from you.
What of his other relationships?
Lorelai asked.
What if he continues with Onyx? Or Molly? I suspect that was bound to happen even before we appeared in his life. Do we allow that to continue?
Doesn't bother me,
Rachel exhaled.
Consider, then, he dreamt of marrying me once. A sexual fantasy, but the thought exists nonetheless. Yet he could not if it would hurt you. He couldn't let you go. Would you consent to that? Would you still be his lover?
Rachel realized that it could have been her arousal talking, but she didn't see anything wrong with that at all.
You'd have to write pretty unique vows.
And if the situation were reversed? If he married you, would you tolerate me as his lover and mistress?
Yes.
Rachel groaned. She honestly couldn't tell if that was better than the previous proposition or not. Lorelai tauntingly licked the side of Alex's neck before she looked at Rachel again.
How can you be so sure that you will be able to accept all of this?
The angel's eyes widened. Mustering every bit of willpower she had, Rachel pulled Alex off of Lorelai and pushed him aside in the spacious tub. Lorelai had just enough time to blink before Rachel planted a deep, passionate kiss on her mouth. Lorelai had never been meant to enjoy the embrace of a benevolent soul. All her long life, men and women of virtue were predisposed to avoid her, while pursuit of her purpose as a succubus steered her away in turn. She discovered in Alex all the joys of genuine, selfless love. It held all the allure and excitement of forbidden fruit and all the warmth and comfort that defined good in contrast to evil. Then she learned what it was like to be kissed by an angel. Alex sat alone, in bewildered bliss, as the angel and demon attacked one another with increasing passion. By the time the pleasant fog cleared from his mind, things between Rachel and Lorelai had escalated considerably beyond kissing. He watched in stunned silence as his biggest problem resolved itself in front of him.
Sun's about to come up,
Alex mused. He lay on his back, staring up at the ceiling.
You should have at least a little sleep,
Lorelai told him. Her head rested against his chest.
We will not leave you.
Rachel sighed against Lorelai's shoulder.
Fuck, actually, that's not true. I'll have to go in a couple hours.
You never told us what happened with Lydia, Lorelai noted.
That'll be part of it. Lydia gets judged, and so do I.
I still don't see how you can be in trouble for this. You can't just decide who you will and won't fall in love with.
Alex scowled.
How are you supposed to control that?
There is what happens in one's heart, and then there is what one does about it,
Lorelai said.
The notion that everyone is at the mercy of his or her heart perseveres mostly because it excuses irresponsible behavior. I've exploited exactly that for longer than I care to remember.
Rachel nodded a bit.
I wasn't supposed to fall for you, she said.
And I damn sure wasn't supposed to go to bed with you. What about Lorelai?
Oh, there'll be shit-talking and scandal and ass-loads of angels will be just fucking aghast,
the angel sighed.
But there's not much precedent for someone like her.
Rachel's words were matter-of-fact, but her glance toward Lorelai held affection and reverence.
I can defend my actions. I'm comfortable with what I've done with you both. I'm in love. That's not going to change. And they won't take me away from you, Alex. Don't worry about that. But there are things that wouldn't be a big deal to a mortal that mean a lot to an angel,
Rachel explained.
Censure by my peers, looking like a jackass in front of everyone, ostracism. I've never been what you would call popular, but it was nice to have the Guardians have my back once this whole mess got rolling. It'll hurt to lose that. I'm not so hung up on the opinions of others that I do things differently to win approval. But it's not like you just pissing off coworkers or classmates. These are angels, you know? What scares me is that I could be removed from my post altogether. Being named a guardian angel meant a lot to me. There are a bunch of posts that are ranked higher in the hierarchy, but guardian angels do serious work. It's the real thing. If they take that away, I'll be crushed. I'm gonna know forever that I was a guardian angel for a whole week, and I fucked it all up, and everyone else will know too.
Even after all you have done?
Lorelai asked.
They would remove you after all that has changed as a result of your actions?
Like I said, this is all unprecedented.
Rachel sniffed and cuddled up to them more.
I gave up worrying about pleasing everyone with how I acted a long time ago. But this, hell, after the way I made such a fool of myself over Vincent for so long, and then all the dead-end stuff I've had to do ever since because of those choices, I've felt like a complete loser. It's been nice to feel like a winner for once. And I have because of you two.
Your involvement has been pivotal,
Lorelai said.
Who knows how this would have turned out had you acted differently? God knows I'm grateful.
Alex huffed.
I know you're not a loser, not at all.
Rachel smiled a bit.
There's what God knows, and then there's what others decide to see and what not to see.
She rolled over him, kissed his chest, and settled back against it.
Anyway, I'll have to go face the music.
Do you have to go alone?
Alex asked. She glanced at Lorelai, who looked at her with much the same question.
You wouldn't see anything but me,
Rachel told him.
Lorelai might be able to see, or might not, it will depend. They'll gather on holy ground, though. Might fuck her up.
Have you any say in which sight?
Lorelai wondered.
I don't know. I might.
She fell silent for a moment.
You really want to come with me?
I love you,
Alex said simply.
You wouldn't let me face something like this alone.
You dove into hell for Alex and for me,
Lorelai agreed.
What sort of lover would I be if I did less for you?
Rachel's attention shifted to Lorelai. She was stunned.